Otherwise, how do you call yourself an overcomer? Well, for the last month, I've been reducing my bipolar medication because the thing is so darn expensive. And it didn't feel like anything was happening. Arlene saw something happening, and she tried to do something to me, but I didn't listen. But this morning, last night actually, it started. And I woke up this morning with the urge to kill. I was so angry. I was so mad at God for my illness. I was so mad at God for my medication and the lack of money to buy my medication. I brought up every disgusting thing I've ever done in my life under the spell of my bipolar, which lets you do things that are totally reckless and ridiculous. And just all of it came back to me. And I sat there and I was so absolutely just seething. And my dear wife went to a concert last week, not a concert, but a week-long women's retreat. And this morning she said to me, she said, "Paul, can I play something for you?" And inside I'm saying, "What do you got for me?" But I was quiet, and I said, "Okay, go ahead and play it." And I pray that it does for you what it does for me.
Yeah, just to let y'all know, this is Michael Card, and I was at a retreat at the Cove this week, which was very powerful, and he was the teacher and the worship leader. It's called Come Lift Up Your Sorrows.
Cool as my music gets.
Let me turn the sound up.
Turn it up. On your phone.
If you are wounded, and if you're alone, if you are angry, if your heart is cold as stone, come lift up your sorrows and offer your pain and come make a sacrifice of all your shame there in your wilderness.
Sacrifice.
Come make
He's waiting for you. Worship Him with your wounds. To worship Him with your wounds. For He's wounded too. In this most holy place, He's made a sacred space for those who will in and trust to cry out to Him, and you'll find no curtain there, no reason left for fear, and there's perfect freedom here to weep every wept tear. Come lift up, come lift up your sorrows and offer your pain. And offer your pain. Come make a sacrifice.
Between Him, my wife's love, and a full dose of my medication, I'm staying again.
Amen.
Paul, thank you for sharing that. That's very meaningful. Thank you for being vulnerable. Thank you for sharing. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Stacy, you want to come? Who's up there?
Listening to that song just made me think of something that I've never really thought of or looked at it this way. You know, God puts us through pain and He puts us through trials, you know, and we hurt and we suffer inside from what we feel. But I never looked at it and thought about that God hurts in the same way as we do with the pain and sorrow that He puts us through.
Wow.
I never thought of it that way until just hearing that song.
Wouldn't the daddy hurt if he saw his child hurting?
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. I've never looked at it that way.
We see our daddy's so strong, we forget.
Yeah. Before Stacy comes up, would you just pray, girl?
Sure. Father, we come before You this morning, Lord, so grateful for Your blessings. So grateful, Lord Jesus, that we know that we're not left as orphans on this world, and no matter what we go through, we have the power of the universe, and that we have the Father God, who is the creator of the universe, who raised up Jesus from the dead, who conquered death, hell, and the grave. And that kind of power is called the dunamis power, or it's called the dynamite power. And Lord, we have that power within us. And so, Father, we thank You this morning, Lord, that whatever we're going through, Lord, that You will give us the wisdom and the guidance and the strength that we can do all things through You, Lord. We want to thank You this morning for this testimony. We want to thank You for this precious couple, Lord. We want to thank You for their lives. We want to thank You for everyone in this class, Lord, who's gotten up this morning and gotten over here, Lord, because so many of us in this class, we know, where would we be without the Lord? Where would we be without the love of God? So we want to be so mindful to thank you for your mercies, which are new and fresh every morning. We ask you to anoint Larry as he teaches and Stacy as she shares. Lord, we ask you to anoint our worship service this morning. We thank you for Pastor Mark and Udella and Pastor Justin and Amanda and all of the other ministers in the church. Lord, we're blessed here. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Come on, Stacy.
Well, okay. I may chicken out on the song. I just had a really short testimony, something that happened Friday. Mark does a lot of woodwork sometimes, and sometimes he does it in our basement, and I've kind of developed an allergy to cedar over time. And I looked it up on the internet after this incident, and you can develop a really severe allergy to cedar. I mean, really weird things happen. I mean, there's a reason bugs don't like cedar. And but he was down there working on his doors, and I was drawn to them because there's a special shape to them. So I was down there, you know, of course, helping. And I came upstairs, and Mark left. And right after he left, I started to have trouble breathing, you know, from the cedar. And I just kind of said, okay, Lord, you know. And so I'm, you know, trying to breathe, praying, what do I do? So I thought, well, you know, I'll take a Benadryl, you know, although I know that if I take a Benadryl, it'll wipe me out for 3 days. I don't know if any of you are like that, but so I took a Benadryl, and I still couldn't breathe, and so I thought, well, okay, I'll take another Benadryl, and for sure I'll be sleeping for 3 days. So I took another Benadryl, and I still couldn't breathe, and I was starting to get nervous because, you know, I'm very sensitive to drugs, and especially Benadryl, and usually if I have any kind of breathing problem, that just knocks me out. And so I was texting my mom, and I'm thinking, you know, I need to maybe call 911, you know, all the thoughts that run through your head. Can we afford an ambulance ride? You know, all these kinds of things. So I called Mark, and he was in the area, and he said, just get in the driveway and turn the AC on. I'm coming home, and, you know, we'll do whatever we have to do from there. So he's on his way home, and I'm in the driveway, and I'm starting to feel like I'm going to pass out. And I thought, well, you know, I'm going to either drive toward a hospital, or maybe I'll drive toward a pharmacy and get more Benadryl. So I started driving, and I had the thought, you know, well, if I drink some coffee, that'll open up my lungs, you know, because I've had doctors tell me that. So I'm on Georgia 20. I said, Mark, meet me at the Triple B with a cup of coffee. And so as soon as I get on Georgia 20, though, it was all backed up with traffic. And I was like, oh, you know, am I going to die here on Georgia 20? Yeah, I really didn't know what to do. An ambulance couldn't get to me. Traffic was all backed up. So the Lord just took over. He's like, turn around, go home, and make coffee. So that's what I did. I went home. I had coffee that was left over from the morning. Mark brought me a coffee. Then I made more coffee that was really strong. And so I was getting a little relief when Mark came home, and he said, okay, we're going to go down. Kroger had an inhaler on the books for me. So he takes me toward Kroger, and I'm still like, you know, trying to breathe. This is a very scary feeling. And it's probably one of the most serious times I've ever had. I used to have asthma, and I had been in the hospital a few times for it. And this was, I'd never experienced where I thought I was going to die. I mean, I just couldn't get my breath. But what started happening is a joy started rising up in me, which I just started laughing. You know, it was so strange to me that here I am, can't breathe, and I'm feeling joy. You know, I just thought it was so crazy, ridiculous. But all the way to Kroger, I felt this joy. And then when we got there, we went up to the pharmacy, and the girl, I had seen her a few times before, and I had, last time I talked to her, I kind of blew it. I felt like I was supposed to invite her to the day, you know, I had the card and everything, and I blew it last time, and I thought, well, now, you know, I'll invite her. And so we asked her to come to church, you know, in the Welcome Center, they have those little cards, and so she was very interested. She said, I just moved here. Got this a lot, sorry. She said, I just moved here, and all I know how to do is get to my job and get to my school, and that's it. You know, and so we invited her, and she was very, very open. So I was just like, praise you, Jesus, you know. So I was just blessed. But I just wanted to share that testimony that, like, in our dark hours,
yes,
when we don't expect great things, you know, what came out of that? You know, this joy rose up in me, And this God used, he anointed Mark and I, and he used us in this lady's life. And
amen.
So I just wanted to give God glory.
I have heard that laughter will help you breathe.
Really? Yes.
What will? What?
Laughter will help you.
Laughter will help you breathe.
Because of the movement of your lungs when you're having a laugh.
He's the one that gave the laughter, right?
He did. Yeah.
Stacey, thank you so much. By the way, just a quick announcement. This next week, the times change for the services. Class here starts at 9:30 instead of 9. Worship service that we'll go to after this, instead of starting at 10:30, starts at 11. Okay? So if you want to come early and have a little women's place here, that's fine.
Rose, can you hear me?
Yes.
Can I put you on the spot? Will you and Jack share a little bit about how God healed Jack of the cancer and the addiction? Could you do that for us, how he did it with the Word of God?
We have some precious couples in this class who have been through some stuff. And you need to know that God is there.
Well, we've been through a lot, and we've come out of a lot, and he's delivered us out of them all.
Amen.
I mean, just one thing right after the other. And Jack had been battling alcoholism. He was a functioning alcoholic, worked every day. This was 30 years ago. And one night, he said, oh, the Lord came in my room and said, you'll never drink again. And I thought, well, you know, I didn't. You know how it is. I didn't believe him. So he never wanted it, never had any withdrawals, nothing. And then he said, the devil came in my room. And it was like a black form.
Wow.
And he said, you can get back in. And he said, I don't know what to do. But he said, I've got my Bible right down here by the bed, and I can cut you up. And he said he waved it, and that big black mass just left.
Praise God. Thank you, Rose. Thank you.
He's been healed of vocal cord cancer.
Yeah. She had with a wife like I have, she's going to get all the credit.
No.
She's taking care of me physically, mentally, spiritually, and financially. I love her, and thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for giving her to me. Thank you for Larry and Carol and how they've been blessing us in the class for a lot of years. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
The vocal cord cancer. They told him, they said, this will kill you. There's no hope. And they said you have to have radiation. So he went in and he had about 10 treatments of radiation. And I went out in the car to pray while he was in there. And I got way down in the seat. I didn't want anybody to see me praying in the spirit. And after a while, I heard this voice that said, it is finished. And I thought his treatment was finished, but I really think that that was when he received his healing. So then he had all these treatments, and I fixed him a tray and so he could eat good food. And he gained 15 pounds. They told him he would lose 15. And then after that, he got asthmatic bronchitis. So I'll tell you about that later.
Larry, I just wanted to say that we appreciate Jack and Rose.
Absolutely.
Mark and Stacy. Cynthia, they've been with us since we started this class 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And you got to have people like this with their testimonies of all that God's brought them through. Because with a couple, it's usually both of them that have to go through that meat grinder, isn't it? Because that oneness is real. But I'm just encouraging all of you, don't give up. God's word is real. And Rose said it was a sword, and you can wave the sword against that enemy, and he has
Amen.
To back up. Jesus said it is written. How many times when he was coming against the devil after that 40-day fast? 3 times. But you know what? We've got the power of the universe in our life. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Rose. Thank you, Jack. Thank you, Mark and Stacy and Arlene and Paul. I'm finished.
Amen. No, you're not.
I might say that it was the word that healed Jack and me. He still does scriptures every morning, and over 100 has them committed to memory. And the word is life to your flesh.
The word's life. Yeah. Thank you, folks.
This lesson here is about the cross, titled it. This is July the 31st, the Creator on the cross with a question mark. And we're going to go through 1st and 2nd Corinthians about the cross. Is that too loud?
No.
Is that okay?
No.
I just want to, before we actually start the lesson, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory." We're going to talk about this in the lesson, but it came to me this morning that it says Jesus was crucified before the foundation of the world in God's eyes, right? And that God created us, and God created us and put inside of us, I believe, something that is responsive to the mystery of the cross. If, everybody say if, we're honest. If we're truthful with ourselves and with Him. So as we start this lesson, I'd like everybody, just in your own quiet time, to just do that with the Lord. Whatever things that you need to kind of tell Him about, just whisper to Him now so we can get the mystery of the cross. There's some mysteries in here. We're not just talking about the crucifix. We're talking about mysteries, hidden mysteries that are hidden from people who are not honest, but revealed to people who are got level ones with the Lord. Are you with me? Okay. And we may or may not get through this lesson. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Page 1. Here's what Paul said to the Corinthians about the cross. I say this later in the lesson, but I just want to give you the picture here. I believe just before this, Paul was in Athens. He said he was arguing with the Greeks. You know, when you're with a Greek, you got a lot of, you know. You know one.
Tom's dad is arguing with a Jew.
Worse. Paul said, "I argued," and there was a few people saying, now here he is walking down the road towards Corinth. I guess a few of those people were saying, you know, but I'm going towards Corinth now. Prostitutes, drug addicts, thieves, drunken sailors. That argument's not going to work with them. And he said in 1 Corinthians, "The only thing I'm going to preach is the cross. That's the only thing that's going to work is the cross." 1 Corinthians 1:17. "For Christ did not send me, Paul, to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the message of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." God reveals His secrets to simple people who love truth, but He hides them from people who reject the truth. Look at Mark 4:11-12 in the Amplified Bible. A lot of this also comes from Isaiah chapter 6. "And He said to them, 'To you it has been entrusted the mystery of the kingdom of God, that is, the secret counsels of God, which are hidden from the ungodly. But for those outside of our circle, everything becomes a parable.' Why? In order that they may indeed look and look, but not see, perceive, and may hear and hear, but not grasp and comprehend, lest happily they should turn again, and it," what it, what's it? "Their willful rejection of the truth should be forgiven them." That's one thing that God doesn't forgive. When you willfully reject the truth, that's your privilege to do that if you want to. Okay, verse 19. So God reveals His secrets to those people who love truth. "For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent.'" Verse 20, "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" Can anybody say amen to that? "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. The word called means to be divinely selected. This is a mystery, but we can trust him because he knows the end from the beginning. I've got a short little testimony about this. Some of you probably heard it, but in 2000, when were we in Jerusalem with Mark Rutland and Carol? 2006? We were walking down the Via Dolorosa. It was a Friday, I believe. That was the day that the Muslims had their holy day, and they were walking the opposite direction we were, and they were knocking us against the walls like this with their carts, and they were just rude. And we got separated from the rest of our group. And I had to kind of hide Carol because, you know, I just screamed out, not with my mouth or my vocal cords, I screamed out in here. I said, God, are they all going to hell? And the next morning in our hotel, while I was studying the Word, the Lord answered me. And you remember when, let me see if I get this scripture right. In Luke chapter 1, he said, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Remember where it says that in Luke chapter 1 about Jesus, peace on earth, goodwill. The Lord said, oh, look at that in the Amplified Bible. It doesn't really say peace on earth, goodwill toward men. It literally says peace to men of goodwill. And the Lord said, I know whose of those are mine. I know who belongs to me. I know who's got that little nugget down in their heart that'll listen to me. I don't care how bad they've been. If they got that little nugget in their heart to listen to the foolishness of the cross, I've got them. Okay? To those who are called. That's something we can't really describe. But okay. Bottom of page 1. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame things that are mighty. Isn't that nice? Isn't everybody glad for that? And the base things of the world and things which are despised, God has chosen for the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are. Why? Verse 29, so that no flesh should glory in his presence. Verse 30, the Amplified Bible. But it is from him that you have your life in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom from God. In other words, he revealed to us a knowledge of the divine plan of salvation, previously hidden, manifesting itself as our righteousness, thus making us upright and putting us in right standing with God. Secondly, our consecration, making us pure and holy, and our redemption, providing our ransom from eternal penalty for sin. Now, the reason I chose the Amplified Bible is because I got something to say about that verse 30. There's three things mentioned in there. He said that if you focus on the cross, I'll give these three things to you. Number one, righteousness. Focusing on the cross actually puts us in right standing with God by grace. Listen, you can do whatever you try to do in your flesh to get in right standing with God, but you can't. You can't do it yourself. Only his Holy Spirit in you, giving you the revelation of what he's done for you through the cross, can put you in right standing with God. It's a gift. It's a gift. Amen? So that's our first salvation. Secondly, our consecration. In other words, transforming into his character. We're all there. And we all try to do things to transform ourselves into his character, don't we? Okay, I won't talk that way anymore. Okay, I won't get mad anymore. Okay, I'll do this. I won't do that. That doesn't work. I mean, I guess the desire to be better works. We need that desire. But look what it says here. After we receive the initial saving grace, we need to always know our need to grow in God's character. Notice this is also by the grace of focusing on the cross, not by our hard work and just performing better. He does it if we cooperate. There's another mystery here in the cross, that if we find ourselves struggling to live according to God's character,
instead of just trying harder, focus back on the cross. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2. Read this lesson again. Read a devotion that talks about the cross. Get the realization of what really, really happened at the cross. All of your flesh, everything that's acting bad in your life, Jesus bore it. He didn't just bear your sin, he bore you. Last week, you said you were crucified with Christ. That anger in you, that selfishness in you, that self-centeredness in you. He said, you died with me. Remember, I don't know who was here last week. You died. That person died. And you were resurrected while still in the body. And that flesh is in the grave. And when I tell that flesh when it acts up in me, I say, flesh, get back in the grave. I've been crucified with Christ. He lives in me now. Amen? Anybody getting too warm in here? We need to turn the air conditioning down. Scott, do you know how to do that?
Thank you, Scott, for everything you do.
Any questions about righteousness and consecration so far? Got it? Okay. Dan, let me give you the phone.
I'm going to back up just a little bit. Verses 22 and 23. It occurs to me this is sort of a couplet. Also, verses 28 and 29. Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after the wisdom. What wisdom are we talking about here? Are the Greeks actually seeking for knowledge as opposed to wisdom?
Yeah, the Greeks are seeking for worldly wisdom.
Worldly wisdom.
Education.
Education, yeah.
So it's really knowledge, not true wisdom.
That's true. I think if you look up that word wisdom, which I didn't do, it'll probably conform to what you just said.
The second verse right there basically says a response to that motivation, that seeking of signs or wisdom. Verse 23.
But we preach Christ crucified?
Yeah. And he says that even though they're seeking a sign, they see that as a, Jesus as a stumbling block. And the Greeks see the wisdom that we're talking about is foolishness.
Right.
Except for those who are called. I think it's kind of generational. I think it's kind of...
May I say something?
Yeah, I think it is sort of that way.
I think that sometimes I look for signs and I don't look for wisdom. I think that what we heard Derek Prince say is that in our classical education, we go back to the antiquity of the Greeks, but in the... It's a Western mindset, but in the Jewish-Israeli mindset, it's an Eastern mindset, and it's kind of all based on the Scripture... And the idea that God does miracles and signs. And so there is an Eastern world mindset and a Western world mindset. And
we kind of combine those right now.
And I'll tell you the truth. We all need to hear the wisdom from God. Because we can get so caught up in the classical education that our universities use. Or we can get so caught up in a Pharisaical religious kind of mindset that we're not connected with the real wisdom. So we really have to seek God's wisdom, which is totally different than the wisdom of the world. Amen?
The reason so many people followed Jesus in that time was to see the signs and wonders. There were a lot of Jewish people that followed him because that's what they wanted.
Yes.
Right now, let me make one comment. If you look through the New Testament, what Jesus said, then I'll give you two a chance. I think it's John 14. He said, if you obey me, I will reveal myself to you. You build your house on the rock, obey me, or you don't obey me on the sand. If you obey me, when we obey God, revelation comes.
That's so true because you want all the knowledge in a book, but...
That's right. That's right, Elizabeth. But it's a supernatural wisdom that comes out of our obedience. Our job is to be obedient and honest. In his job, then, the scripture opens.
You know, one of the main things that I see here is there's a lot of action that's going on. A lot of times, if we're not careful, we try to speak positive and do positive, but it's allowing the Holy Spirit to use us in the way that He needs to use us.
That's right.
And that is, He takes more charge of our life, and we have to get out of the way. Well, a lot of times the question is how do you get out of the way? It's as simple as just realizing you can't do it, but God can do it through you. And when you lay that down on that cross, you didn't crawl up there on that cross and those nails go in your hands. Jesus did, because He could do it for us. But yet, in the same sense, it was our sins and stuff that went up on that cross.
Amen.
With Him.
Amen.
The drop of the blood that went, when it brought on us. So when you look at it in that form, there's an action, but that action is that we have faith that God is going to do it through us.
But don't we have to know that don't we have to run through the failures?
We do.
Knowing that we can't do it?
You have to realize it's not about you doing it. It's about you getting out of the way and letting God do it and being obedient. Because I think when it comes to wisdom, the word world wisdom plays a big role. If you're not careful, we're taught each and every day that we can change who we are. Truthfully, it's Christ changes who we are.
I'm just thinking that the wisdom of the world is a stumbling block.
Yes.
It happens in our universities all the time. And it's a stumbling block to the revelation of the truth of God. When people do not recognize first that they're sinners,
that's right,
that they need to repent and receive Jesus Christ, all of the knowledge of the world that you're getting will not help you understand the truth of God.
It struck me as you were talking about the difference between Jewish thought and Greek thought, and that's what I studied in school, because a lot of times philosophers say, well, all of philosophy is just footnotes to Plato and it's all Greek, and then the Jews come along and do a very different kind of philosophy, a very different kind of thinking. But it seems to me that God was telling me that the Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. Well, what do Americans seek after? We seek after success and wealth. And so you could, on 23, you could say, well, we preach Christ crucified. So to the Jews, that's a stumbling block, because it's a sign they don't know how to interpret. To the Greek, that's foolishness, because why would anybody give up their life? And, you know, it defies their sense of intelligence and, the Greek wisdom. Well, to Americans, he was the guy who came and failed. He willingly failed. He gave up everything, and he became a guy whose project went right down the drain for our sake. He counteracts our, we come to God and we say, God, make me successful. You know, give me a fat bank account and give me a successful business or whatever we want. Because that's our American mindset speaking, to our hearts. And more we take that into our hearts, the more we speak that back to God. Make me successful. And God says, here's my son. What kind of a success was he? He was a heavenly success because he gave up earthly success.
And he's taken his children to heaven. Oh, hang on, Elizabeth's turn.
I think as bad as worldly knowledge is, I think it gives us a backdrop understanding of spiritual knowledge. If we don't compare the two, we can't appreciate the other. Because we can't isolate ourselves from one or the other, and it gives us a choice. It gives us freedom of choice, and that's what God wants for us. And we want to hate the other and love God. So as much as we don't like worldly knowledge, That's what God wants from us. You know, so we have to appreciate that there's worldly knowledge out there. So we can go compare it and make a choice.
Dan, you have something after me.
But you said something that spoke to my heart in the sense that, and you said something, Matt, that spoke to my heart about failure. You know, God always uses people after they failed. If you look through the scriptures, somebody has failed and they know they need God. Moses, his education in the Egyptian courts is something that God used to get the first five books of the Old Testament written, and for the Hebrews actually to get their own written language, as I understand, because everything was in oral fashion before that. God used Paul because he had the education of the Greeks and the Romans, and he's writing these scriptures to us, and he's telling us about the foolishness of the cross is what saves man, not the wisdom of the world. And they both had to go out into the world and learn what was the education of the day. And they both failed in many ways. If you look through the Bible, Peter was used greatly. David, people, but repentance is the thing that brings you back.
Amen.
But like Elizabeth was just saying, when you can compare, oh my Lord, you know, when you have a heart that can compare the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God, are the, you know, that you don't see it as foolishness, do you? You see it as powerful, don't you?
And that's the Holy Spirit that allows you to appreciate.
Holy Spirit allows you, yes.
He takes the blinders off.
Takes the blinders off is right.
Diane, you have something?
Again, you have something? Yes or no?
It's up to you. You have the next hand, though.
I just made a quick note because I realize that we're sometimes torn between our personal motivations in life because of our vocation. And I realized for over 40 years in insurance, I considered what I was doing as a ministry. And it was helping others avoid loss, financial primarily, by transferring that risk to the insurance companies for a premium. Now I'm looking at things differently. That doesn't preclude that, but as Christians, we can build wealth by acquiring the knowledge necessary to do so. So I'm doing the opposite now.
Amen.
And it's sort of interesting. This lesson particularly touched me.
Come and Get It restaurant is owned by a Greek man background that he mentions and talks about Jesus in that restaurant at all times. Mike does. Mike, the guy that owns the restaurant. And he goes back to Greece for 3 weeks every so often to take his kids and so forth. He just got back. And he says the name of Jesus is talked about all the time in Greece.
Wow.
Praise God.
Wow. Well, they've been failures there, so maybe they're getting it.
You know, as I was listening to Carol, you and your daughter, the one thing it just reminded me is a lot of times we feel that we have to go around and we have to tell people, you know, just, are you saved and stuff? But it is living the life and people seeing a difference through us because we do live in the world. And it's what do we do with what we have? How do we overcome it? How do we go to the next page? Do we truly believe what we read? And that's where when we start walking in what we're reading and it gets so deep down in our spirit that we truly allow Holy Spirit to come out of us. Because that's the thing is, it's Holy Spirit, the day you were saved, He sits in us. We don't have to go looking for Him. He's right where you are. So all we have to do is be in tune with the Spirit that's inside of us and allow Him to speak. I know yesterday I had an opportunity because we have a pet photography business, and a young guy had came in and he had lost his job and just a lot of stuff, but as we were looking at pictures, he goes, "I don't know why I'm telling you all this stuff." And he goes, "But I'm very burdened." And I said, "Well," I said, do you attend a church anywhere?" And he said, "Well, we've moved." And he says, "I'm looking for a church." And I said, "Well, do you mind if I pray with you?" And this grown man turned around and looked at me. He said, "Would you please pray for me?"
Praise God.
And that's what it is, being obedient. God gives us the time, and he gives us the opportunities to share our testimonies. And then I was able to share my testimony with him. So, but that's what it's all about.
That's right. That's one of the most powerful questions you can ever ask anybody.
What's that?
Do you mind if I pray for you?
It is a powerful question.
You'd be surprised how many people will.
We need to be more aware of that. Yeah, thank you for guys bringing that up.
It's not so much, are you saved?
Can we pray with you?
Yeah.
And that's giving them a gift, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not asking them to make a confession of.
It makes a difference in the different religions, too, because we're about love.
We're about love.
And sharing.
That's right.
And being part of each other's.
We're story. About love. They need to feel love out of us, don't they?
If you feel like you're in a corner, that's from the pit of hell. Because we're not. Brothers and sisters, we're in this together. There's not one single room in this, one person in this room that's not going through something. But the thing is we are connected. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And there's nothing that makes us different. Because when you really think about it, Larry, Mona, all of us in this room, we've all got the same Holy Spirit inside of us. And that Holy Spirit... That's it. That's right. So it is realizing that it doesn't matter about families. It doesn't matter about addictions. It is realizing you're not alone because there's somebody that's right beside you that needs to hear your testimony. And don't ever think that you can't pray for somebody. If God tells you to pray for somebody in the grocery store line, stop and be obedient.
Hang on.
That same note, your daughter went to the gates of hell this week, and the prayers of this class brought her through.
I know. I
want to
thank everyone Jesus.
In this class. That's right.
So much.
It was about her.
Passed
this class with a 69.4.
She graduated Friday.
And it wasn't just a educational struggle. It was satanic. We could feel it all.
I know. I can write a paper, not to glorify myself, but when I looked at the graded paper, it said plagiarism, intelligent design. I said...
The professor didn't like the idea that she believed in... She didn't use the word God. She's using creationism.
I finally asked Pastor Justin Walker... I said, how can I take out creationism and omit God and somehow get by the class? He said, talk about intelligent design. Finally, when I looked at the paper and it said plagiarism, intelligent design, I looked the next day, it said all the plagiarism, intelligent design was omitted, but then there was no remarks on it, and it was just graded for the grammatical errors, and the grade for the paper was omitted, and then the overall grade for the class was 69.4, and then I looked on my transcript, and it said C.
That was a miracle.
That was God.
That was God. Okay, let's see. Maybe we get one more under verse 30. Redemption. Remember, the Amplified Bible says in verse 30 that we received righteousness, consecration, and our redemption. Redemption is Jesus purchased us. He owns us as a shepherd owns his sheep. And the shepherd provides for every need that the sheep has, protection, food, and everything. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He bought us with a price. That was a purchase price. we were on the slave block. He came up and he says, you may have bid $1 million, but I bid my blood. She's mine. And now that she's my sheep, I'm going to provide. He shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. You know what else he says in there? I'm like, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Can you imagine sitting down eating dinner and demons all around you? Just enjoying the dinner in the presence of my enemies? But in that, he also says he anoints my head with oil. That's the sharing with other people. And then he said, my cup runs over. In other words, not only is my anointing on me, but it hits other people. So as a sheep, you know, I think we need to do Psalm 23 sometime. But we have to remember that we are sheep, and he is our shepherd. Redemption also gives us a guarantee of being in heaven for eternity. Can anybody say amen for that? Hope. Often we can start out a day with a lack of hope, or perhaps just live there. Righteousness, consecration, and redemption will bring us hope. The cross brings us hope. And I think what we'll do is we'll save the rest for next week at 9:30. Carol?
I'd like for you to ask Tina to pray. And today is her birthday.
Hey!
And also,
sometimes we send the audios out. Sometimes we don't. Depends on how.
Sometimes we don't because of indiscretion. Maybe like about the professor.
Something sensitive in the audio that I don't want to go out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dan?
One last thing I'd like to mention about the importance of praying for other people. When we do so, we should remember Romans 1:16 and not be ashamed to use the name of Jesus. Because as we pray, using the name of Jesus, that is also a testimony.
Amen.
And we overcome by the word of the Lord and our testimony.
Amen.
So do not be ashamed to use the name of Jesus while you pray for anybody.
Amen.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come today, and Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for giving us a safe place to come and minister and spend time together and just love in your word, Father, because that's what it is. It's your word is sweetness to our souls. Father, I just pray the testimonies that are given today, that, Father, you anoint each person that they may go and share the testimonies they've heard today, because we've all got loved ones and friends and family that needs to hear the things that's been said. But Father, also allow it to start working deep down in our own souls. Father, we just ask that you just change our mindsets and get our mindsets put where you need it to be. And Father, we know that you meet us right where each one of us are. And so, Father, I just pray now that not one single soul in this room feels alone, that they truly understand that we are all here together. Lord, we thank you for Carol, and we thank you for Larry, for their obedience in doing what you've called them to do. And so we just ask as we go forth this week that, Lord, that we just go in boldness with what you have for us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just one more thing. After the class, Paul and Stacy, come to me and tell me if you have any problem sharing this on the audio. Okay, just let me know if you have any problem.